You okay? You hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, good to see everybody this morning. We're going to be continuing in our series with Genesis. So if you haven't turned there, we'll be in chapter 27 this morning. We're going to go ahead and pray before we get started. How about that? Let's go to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning, Father, waking us up, Father, and giving us another day, Father. We are so blessed to be called your disciples, Father. We are so blessed, Father, to be in your kingdom, Father. We ask that the words that are spoken today, Father, are encouraging and inspiring, that only you are the one who gets the glory from the Father. I pray, Father, that we'll all leave here, Father, better men and women who were. We sit down this morning. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in chapter 27. So, I had a good chance to read a lot. I think I've heard this chapter 3 or 4 times. Since I travel a lot in the car, I just put the audio on and just keep listening to it over and over and over again. And this is a very interesting chapter to me. I think it's one of the wildest chapters, if you want to look at it that way. You know, in our prior chapters, you know, it describes the prosperity of Isaac living in the valley of Gerar. But Genesis 27 leaps us forward to the time of the end of Isaac's life. So, you know, Isaac now has gotten older. He's done all these things, and now he's getting to the point now where it comes to the point where he has to relinquish himself to give off his blessings to someone else. And then this is when he's supposed to give it to, you know, we know that was supposed to be Jacob, but Esau was the firstborn. So that's not traditional. And usually the firstborn is the one who receives the blessing from the father. So we're going to jump into the chapter here. We're going to go ahead and start reading here. And I tell you, there's a lot going on in this chapter. A lot of deceit, a lot of entrust, a lot of, you know, working around the scene, behind the back kind of thing. So we're going to kind of break that down and see if we can kind of work through it a little bit this morning. And starting in Genesis chapter 27, verse 1, it says, when Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son, here I am, he answered. Isaac said, I am now an old man, and I don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go into the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die. Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare for me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you, Mr. Rebekah. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choices of young goat, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you blessings before he dies. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, but my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me. So he went out and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food, just the way the father liked. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on the youngest son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with goat skin. Then she handed her son, Jacob, the tasty food and the bread she made. He went to his father and said, my father, yes, my son, he answered. Who is this? Who is it? Jacob said to father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I've done what you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The Lord your God gave me success, he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son. I know whether you really are my son Esau or not. Jacob went close to the father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is in the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. Are you really my son Esau? Yes, I am, he replied. Then he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing. Jacob brought it to him, and he ate it. And he brought some wine for him to drink. Then the father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. So they went to kiss him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth riches, and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and your people bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and you may your sons over your mothers bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob was scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to the father. Then he said to him, my father, sit up and eat some of the game, so that I may give you your blessing. So you may give me your blessing. His father Isaac asked him, who are you? I'm your son, he answered, your firstborn, Esau. He said, Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. His father Isaac answered him, your dwelling will be away from the earth's riches. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Esau said, isn't it rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright, and now he has taken my blessing. Then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Isaac answered Esau, I have made him Lord over you, and have made him relatives his servants, and have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, your dwelling will be away from the earth's riches, away from the dew of the heavens above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from your neck. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of his blessing his father had given him. He said to him, the days of the mourning for my father are near, then I will kill my brother Jacob. When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent her son, younger son Jacob, and said to him, your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now, dear my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother fury has subsided. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets that what you have done to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you on one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I am disgusted with the living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from the Hittite women like these, my life will be worth would not be worth living. So that's pretty long, but you know, you could write a movie about this. This is really wild. There's a lot going on here. You know, I kind of wanted to put it in that way because there's kind of like four different characters here that are working to do basically what they want, to get what they want, you know. And you know, it's kind of like, I don't know if some of y'all people know, but some old men, y'all know how Frank Sinatra just sing the song, "I'm going to do it my way"? Well, that's what you have here. You have four different individuals going to do it their way and not God's way. And that's the title of my message this morning. My way or God's way? Your decision. And so if you look at it, you know, at these four people here, just with first breakdown, we'll look at the first one, which is Isaac. Now, if you look at Isaac has gotten really old. He's tired, he can't see, and you know, he's been blessed and everything. But, you know, this whole story about these two boys, these two sons that were born to him, God had back in earlier in Genesis verse 25 and 23 said that the older son would worship the younger son. God had already put that in play. So what has happened, though, you got Esau here going, what I'm going to do, though, I am going to bless him, Esau, anyway, and not Jacob, because Jacob is the younger one. Even though God said when he told Rebekah in her womb that her younger son would be ruler. But here it is, and you know, we all kind of get that. I'm going to do it whose way? My way. I'm going to go against what God has already ordained. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to go ahead, not let the wife know what's going on. You know, normally when someone gets a blessing from the father, wouldn't that be a great celebration? Would you agree? When you invite everybody over, when you want to have a nice festival, when you want to say, here is my son, I'm getting over. I want to let you guys know that I'm getting ready to give the blessing to my son as I get older. Not Isaac. Isaac decided, you know what? I know what God had said, but what I want to do is what I want to do. Because guess what? That was his favorite son. Esau was his favorite son, not Jacob. So he was going to go behind and do what he wanted to do. And he goes on to say, but you know, that he's going to bless his son, and the wife just so happened to be what? Now, she's sitting back listening, you know, and hears about what he's planning on doing. And so, you know, we can go down to now talk a little bit about Rebekah. So now we think Rebekah is, you know, she's doing this out of good reason. Right? She's going, wait a minute, how dare him try to go behind God? Well, don't let Rebekah fool you. Rebekah is not she is not really following God. This is her own way of thinking of how she can get around what her husband has decided to do. So she plans, and she gets deceitful, and she plans this whole plot. I mean, she went as far as to cut the goat skin and put it around your neck and on your hand. How deceitful could you be? You're deceiving. So now she has set her son up to be deceitful in front of the husband. But also, when you're deceitful to God as well. You can't go around trying to sneak things. So what, you know, if she would have really been a true godly woman, what she would have said is that, let me pray to God to make sure that these things don't happen. Let me go to God and ask God to make sure that whatever his plans are, don't work. But no, not Rebekah. Rebekah did it what? She did it her way. As Sinatra was saying, she did it my way, she did it her way. She decided, you know what? I am going to be the one to make the changes. I am going to be the one to make sure that the right son gets the blessing. Because you know why? It wasn't because of what God had said. It was because Jacob was her favorite. So here you got these guys, two parents here. One's favorite son, one mother's got a favorite son, father's got a favorite son. Now I'm a parent, you know, I got a couple kids, and I understand, you know, I love all my kids. every one of them. But yeah, you know, every now and then you may find yourself a little, you know, favorite to one. And you know what? Sometimes you don't even realize you're doing it, but you do seem to be, well, you may let that one get away with more than you may let the other one get away with. And you know, hey, it happens even if you're, hey, you're an aunt, you got your favorite nephew or niece. You got, you know, sometimes that's just family. Then you may see yourself going, well, I may let this one get away doing something. Here are the two things. This is what they were doing. They were basically going, you know, they weren't really connected as a husband and wife. They were both had their own agendas. And their own agendas were basically being deceitful to one another. See, when you're being deceitful to God, at the end of the day, it looks good at the beginning. And it sounds good, but at the end of the day, there has to be some payment, you know. So we're going down. We got Rebecca here now. She's seen too. She's doing her thing. She got her son being deceived. Then here comes Jacob. And Jacob, he knows the blessing. Everybody knows what's supposed to happen. But then Jacob comes along, and Jason agrees to go along with his mother. Instead of saying, you know what, and Jason wasn't a young man, guys. If you the history says that Jacob was probably like in his 70s. He was an older man. He wasn't a young teenager. And said that he went right along with his mother to be deceitful to the father. And he says that you know, he says here it says when he came to his son, he flat out just lied to his father, knowing that, you know, he wasn't who he said he was. He said, you know, in verse 18, he said, he went to his father and said, my father, yes, my son, he answered, who is it? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. You know, I have done so. I've done as you have told me. So here it is. He's making it the actual, you know, he's being deceitful as well. So now we got daddy's deceitful, mom's deceitful, Jacob. Well, 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 now we get to the fourth in this plot. Now we got Esau. And Esau has already given his blessing away. His, you know, early in the chapters, he already gave, you know, his birthright away to his brother earlier. And he comes along here now and says, you know, I've done everything you asked. And he comes in, and you may feel a little sorry for Esau, but don't feel so sorry for Esau. Esau made his own bed a long time ago. In this whole chapter. But too, he too was a little deceitful in his way of doing things. See, Esau was not really, Esau knew what the blessing had already been. Everybody knew that he was not going to be the one to receive the blessing. But he walked out of there, you know, and when he got that game, he came back and forth. He threw it down there like, hey, ain't nobody looking there. You can go ahead and give me the blessing because, you know, I know Jacob's supposed to get it, but I'm going to go ahead and, you know, work this around you so I can get it. So he has been deceitful as well. He is not, you know, so don't think that he is the innocent one in here because he's not. You know, in verse 34, it says, when Esau heard his father's word, he burst out into a loud, bitter cry. These tears he had, he's crying, you know, hey, you didn't give me any blessing. You know, you can't, you know, how does, you know, so at this point, he is hating his brother Jacob. And it says, goes on to say that he has plotted to even go as far as to kill his brother. So look how the deceitfulness has destroyed this family. Daddy's lying, mama's sneaky and lying, the other brother's lying, and now here's the fourth brother. Guess what he wants to do? He wants to kill his own flesh and blood. Ah, what a deceitful way we be when we deceive. You know, we deceive, and look what the cost may end up being. Two brothers now are ready. One is ready to kill the other brother. And, you know, and I'm sure God said this is not the plan, but I guess, you know, God knows everything. But I think there could have been a better way. It didn't have to be so deceitful. Because God knew what he already said. So we go on a little bit down here real quick. It said, and I want to share something to you. These, you know, one thing I noticed about these brothers is that they weren't as godly men as you think they were. And that may have been the biggest he says, my son, he brought him food. He said, but you came back really quickly. He said, but yeah, I did this because of, he said, your God. He didn't say our God. He said, your God. Basically, he didn't even recognize the Lord. He said, I did this so quickly because of your Lord's blessing. Not our blessing from the Lord. So you have some brothers here that really weren't connected to God. They were kind of on their own doing their own thing, even though they should have had all the connections with God, but they didn't. They were kind of like, you know what? They were just living the life out, you know. Let's go on a little bit farther here. So now, we got the scene set up. 1, 2, 3, and that's 4. And then mother comes along again. What does she do? She hears about this plot, and she what? Sends them away. Sends them to somewhere else. Says, you know what? You've got to run and hide. You can't stay around here anymore because your brother's plotting to kill you. And I'm sure the brother's going, man, if I wouldn't have probably been so deceitful in this, I wouldn't have to leave my own home to get away from my brother just because of the deceitfulness. You know, there are stories that Esau, you know, he surely wasn't repentant toward God, neither of them were. They all had their own intentions. But what it tells us this is that when you're deceitful to God, there's no prize in it for you. Yeah, God may end up getting the glory from all this deceit, because guess what? Jacob still ended up getting the rights like he was supposed to. But what happened to the family itself? How destroyed that family was. That story that you go on, Esau himself goes on to fight to connect with Nebuchadnezzar and the destruction of Israel. Now, why would you want to do that? But this is some of the sin that has happened because of his early deceitfulness. Jacob, everybody knows the story, his own son, his own children, sold his brother into slavery. Joseph. So there's things that happened because of this secret. It wasn't like they all were innocent at the end of it. You know, it tells us in, where is it? Let me get there real quick. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 7 and 10, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. It says, man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will repeat destruction. Will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary of doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do it and not give up. Therefore, it's the opportunity to let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Here it is, God is saying, you can't mock God. You can't deceive God. You can't go around doing things and thinking that you're getting away with it. See, here this whole chapter here talks about a family that basically were trying to be deceitful to get what they wanted. Yes, at the beginning of your time when you get it, it's kind of like in relationship. You know, they always say when you tell a lie, the lie becomes bigger, and it becomes bigger, and it becomes bigger. That's because the truth was never built on truth. It was built on a lie. The same thing happened to these poor people in the Bible here. Their lie at the beginning started with the father, then with the mother, and then with the children below. And our childhood as parents, we are the example setters for our children. Here it is, a family, a husband and wife, but not on the same page. You know, they're supposed to be worshiping God and representing God, and they got their own agendas. They're doing it their way. And what has happened is their sin has seeped into their children. And it's caused their children to be once to kill the other. And in the chapter, it goes on that things do change, but it doesn't change necessarily because of their sin. Change because God has made a change in over time. But, you know, my challenge to us today is to think about this chapter and think about what does deceit do? How does it destroy us? How does it take away from the glory of God? See, when we decide to be deceitful, you know what we're saying? God, I know you got a plan, but I got a better plan. If it takes lying, whatever, to get what I want, then that's what I'll do. That's not what God is about. You know, at the end of the day, you may think that you're gaining something, but you're only losing something. To be dishonest toward God, you know, they always say, what's in the dark shall come to the light. That is true. So, you know, I think about the family. You know, the Bible tells about the wife being submissive to the husband and so on. Don't get too much glory out of the husband, because it's a lot more to that than just her being submissive. If Rebecca would have been true submissive to her husband, but her husband had to show what? It goes on to tell that the husband must be a man of God as well. So if the husband, Ivan, had been a true man of God and did the things he needed to do, then the wife's submissiveness is easy, because he's following God and not his own way. So as you go through life and as you realize that you have to put God first in everything that you do, then the glory of God will be shown in what you do. But if you be deceitful and start lying to one another, or being deceitful to anyone or any situation, God is only going to punish you for the deceitfulness. You cannot receive glory. The old Bible says that you can't serve two masters. You can only serve one. And God has got to be that true master. You've got to look at this. This is a great story to be able to share about what deceitfulness does. This is a great one. This chapter tells you what happens when we are being deceitful to God. You know, like I said earlier, Genesis, God cannot be mocked. Don't ever think you're getting away with something when you lie. Don't ever think that you make it a gratification at the moment. But then truly, truly, at the end, you will be harming yourself and even your own children or your children's children because of your lies or your deceitfulness to go to God. The Bible tells us, children, obey your parents. Well, you know what? He obeyed his mother, didn't he? One brother obeyed one brother was obeying his father, one brother was obeying the mother. What a way up that is. What a deceitful that is. They could not even see God in all what they were doing. All they could see is what they wanted for themselves. Selfishness is one of the biggest sins that we could have, y'all. We always want to think about ourselves and not others. But I tell you, at the end of the day, if we don't realize that what we must do is seek God in everything that we do and not in what our own selfish needs, we will be doomed for failure. So as I close out here, I want to think about that. You know, in Ephesians says, it just tells us that if we want to worship God, we have to be about God. We have to be setting ourselves up to be with God. Is it a difficult thing to, you know, live in this world and not try to be right? Yes, because the world attacks you all the time. But God is looking for people to stand up and be righteous. He's not looking for people to be weak and people to convert over to what the world says. The world says, do whatever you have to do to get what you want. No matter who you step on, who you have to cross over, get what you want. But the Bible says totally different. It's not about that. It is about worshiping God, and God will give you what you want and what you need. And then, you know, and I know sometimes we can be impatient. We want it now. But God says, be patient. I will give you. You just rely on me in everything that you do, and I will make sure that you get the true blessing. And your blessings will not come with a curse. See, when you're being deceitful, the only thing you're doing is setting yourself up for curse. You mean cursed by God, because God says, you know what? I can't bless a deceitful person. I can't bless someone who is hurting someone else because of their deceitful. Because I am not about that. I am about a people. I'm about caring for everyone. So, as you take the scripture this and look at it, think about this. When you wake up tomorrow, whatever you do in your life, and you have that opportunity, you ever seen the little thing? You got the two little angels, you know, you got the white angel over here, and you got the little red angel over there, I guess. You got one on each shoulder. But one of them over here saying, well, definitely hold on a second, my wife said, one over here saying, go ahead. You know, I can tell the truth. It's okay. It's just a little white lie. But you got the one over here saying, what would Jesus do? What would God do? At that point in your life, you have a decision to make. And the decision to make is, well, who are you going to follow? Who is going to be the one who leads you? Who is the one that you're going to rely on? Because the one over here saying, yeah, tell a little of mine. It ain't going to hurt anybody. No one will know. But the one over here is telling you, you know what? Yes, it is. Because it's going to come back, and someone's going to be hurt. So thank you guys for this morning for letting me share the message about Isaac and his family. His family of toils of deceitfulness, and let us understand that with God, we can do all things without deceitfulness. Thank you so much this morning.
God Amen, bless you. Bro. Amen.